Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends and family, and welcome to Straight Talk. This is the talk show made for men, and it is designed by men. Except if you're a woman, I promise you won't want to miss this. And I'm Ted Santos, and I promise you this show is going to be a journey. I'm your co-pilot, and with me on this, my co-pilot is Blair Nash. Say hello, Blair.
What's going on, people? Hope everyone is doing well.
Hey, Blair, you know, this is the last show for the year, for 2018.
You ain't going to get sentimental on me right now, is you?
So, I'm in New Jersey. I'm like right across the Hudson River. And we watched the ball drop in Times Square. So what do you all do for New Year's Eve in Columbus? For New Year's Eve, what do you do there?
We don't have a ball drop or anything. We don't have anything quite that fancy. We have, there's like a number of different parties that go on, different, you know, I think everyone trying to kind of pull in the New Year's Eve crowd and, you know, hopefully get to just come out and celebrate. There used to be a really good time when everybody had a whole bunch of, you know, house parties, but I think people have kind of gotten away from that. There's probably, as far as I know, there's about four or five different New Year's Eve celebrations at different hotels, you know, et cetera. And people pretty much just, you know, do that.
All right, all the usual suspects. I lived in D.C. also, and D.C. I guess tried to, I don't know if they were trying to one-up New York, but they used to have a stamp drop at midnight. So I never went to that. I don't know how that worked out. I think they still do it, though. So
what is a stamp drop?
I guess a stamp, you know, like you put on an envelope.
A stamp drop, okay. I'm going to act like I know, Dan. I don't know what the hell that is. He's like, you know, like a stamp drop, man. Come on. You know, about
stamp
drop.
They had a stamp on a pole.
I'm like, dude, I have no clue what you're talking about. Have no idea.
I never went, so I can't really tell you. I've watched the ball drop in Manhattan a couple of times. People stand around. It's a little chilly. But, you know, it's cool.
I was
something
about
to
do. Why don't they put it somewhere where it's a little bit more, you know, the weather's a little bit more accommodating? I mean, I've seen people be out there, and it's, you know, it's 18 degrees, and we're about, I'm like, man, listen. Because if you could go out there for like 10 minutes and then just roll right back inside, that's one thing. But I've seen people be out there for, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, and I'm like, that don't seem like fun. That seems like
2 or 3 hours? Nah, they're out there longer than that, some of those people.
Yeah,
a long time, man. I was out there a few hours, but not like 7, 8 hours, you know. People are already out there lining up way before 9 p.m., so.
How's your 2018, though?
I had a great year. I had a good year.
Okay.
How about yourself?
Same here. Yeah, plenty more ups than downs. So it was definitely a good year. Of course, I dropped a third book. Did a couple of events. You know, I mean, it just was a year that I kind of made, you know, definitely some leaps. So, you know, happy, very happy.
Well, we spent the past 10 weeks doing this, so this is this came out of nowhere. So, you know, for both of us, even it came for me out of nowhere. I had no idea. Going into 2018,
right,
I would have never told you I would be doing this at the end of the year. So, glad I'm here and making this happen, and I'm glad you're the co-pilot with me on this, and we're steering we're steering this ship, and we have a way to kick out to end the year. And so for the people who don't know, if you're just tuning in, this is Straight Talk, and you all know us for talking generally about what do men want and what are the things they don't like in relationships and how to make things work. And generally, Blair, I'd say you and I usually have been facilitators, but this time we're going to switch things up And we're going to do two things. One is we're going to ask people what's the greatest relationship advice you've ever been given. And if someone gave you a piece of advice and it worked really well, we like to hear about it. So with the listeners. But what Blair and I are going to do, special and different for us, is we're going to give you the top 10 relationship tools for 2019. And as I said, the show is made for men, but it's women. These tools can be used by women also, but we are going to focus a little bit on the guys. And we're saying relationship tools. So, Blair, did you guys ever have that commercial in Ohio? It was the Army saying, be all you can be. So it was the Army or the Navy, one of those.
That's when people really want to get into the military. Now you got to dang near give them a bit to get them into the Marines right now. They're not trying to go to the military.
Well, I'm using that. That was a slogan, be all you can be. And a lot of times people give advice, and instead of giving advice, they give slogans like be all you can be, and you can do bad by yourself. And, you know, we've heard for decades that lady saying, I don't need a man. But there are lots of slogans that people, be your best self. And those things really don't help people. You know, you're just giving someone a slogan. And how do you really do that? You know, how do you make that work? So today, instead of us giving tips and slogans, we're going to actually give people tools. And the tools are going to support. They'll support people in making better choices as well as managing relationships with their significant other. So as a disclaimer, I'm going to say these tools are really designed for the guy who wants to build something. Like he's that guy who is looking to build a legacy. And part of what these tools do is they address mindset is a big part of it. And what's the right mindset or the most powerful, the most effective mindset to have to build a relationship with your significant other. And I've talked, I think, on at least one of the shows, I said, you know, people, we're made up of atoms, and if you look at hydrogen and oxygen, both very valuable and important atoms in our world, except when they come together, they make something neither of them can do on their own. H2O, you make water. So people have that capacity, yet, you know, so many people don't make relationships work. So on one of our other calls, I asked the woman if she was studied accounting as a CPA, and she said no. And I asked her how she would do if she was one, and she said not very well. So I'm saying the same thing happens in people's relationships. They don't have the tools. They don't have the training. We have training to be lawyers and doctors and engineers, all important to have that, except you know, the most important decision you make in your life is the choice of a spouse. That person influences every aspect of your life. And if you don't know how to leverage that in the best way possible and you don't have the tools to leverage it, you know, that could be like being a doctor who never went to med school and, you know, it's considered malpractice. So, you know, people are almost out there doing brain surgery on one another by the time they finish tearing one another apart. So our commitment is to actually give people tools so that they could actually work on something that's in the best interest of everyone. So for the listeners, for the guy who just wants to be a player and you're a lifetime player, these tools can be helpful, except they're really designed. I'm asking everyone to think in terms of you're looking to really build and develop something with someone.
Absolutely. Let me do a couple pieces real quick. The call-in number is area code 323-642-1387. Again, area code 323-642-1387. So I see we already have a number of callers already holding. So just to let you know. But, yeah, go ahead.
So, you know what? Definitely going to want to take some calls and get to it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, you and I are going to chop, we're going to chop this up. So I'm going to take five, I'll take number, we're going to do the top 10. So I'll take 10 down to number six, and then you'll take five down to one. And and yep, so I'm going to start off. Number 10,
okay.
The number 10 rule or tool, I should say, for people to use in relationships. And guys, I'm going to say this is important, and it's probably not stressed enough to men. That's create boundaries. And when I say create boundaries, I'm talking about everything from your money, your intellect, your personal well-being, your mental and your physical well-being. And, you know, this is your life, and it's not a joke. You get to decide who's in it. So as a man, you don't have to accept games that someone wants to play with you. I mean, if it's not going to support you building something and creating something, you have to start to reevaluate if that person needs to be in your life. And that's part of the boundaries that I'm talking about. So
okay.
I want to go into that a little more. Let's take a call and see if anyone has any thoughts about creating boundaries, or you have anything you want to say about that, Blair, and creating boundaries?
Not really, no. Let me also say to the callers, because we have a few callers already holding, we promise we will get to your calls this evening, so just hold the line. I've already got four calls in queue, so just, you know, bear with us. So the first call we're going to try to take is from area code 917. 917, you're live on the air.
Ooh. Someone's got a party going on. Someone started New Year's Eve already.
Right. Okay. No, 917 dropped the call. So, okay. So next we're going to go to a area code 609. 609. You're live and on the air.
Yes.
Area
hello.
609.
Yeah. 609. Yes. This is I. Yes. This is Tyrone. How you doing?
Hey Tyrone. How
are you?
Man?
I could be better. Happy New Year and everything. I have a little issue. Huh?
I said, I'm sorry to hear that. Real quick, before we go any further, where are you calling from, Tyrone?
I'm calling from Avondale, New Jersey.
Avondale, New Jersey. Okay, go ahead. Tyrone,
very
I hope
cool.
Everything was better for you. Go right ahead with your thought or comment. What's your thought or question?
Okay, when it comes to relationship, I always was seeking a woman's hand in marriage. But the world we live in today, is not really too many old-fashioned women, you know, who I think that possess the virtues of bowing down and getting on one knee and asking for their hand in marriage. The boundaries of, you know, my intellect that we were speaking upon, would be bringing her into her faith. And, you know, most of these women don't have faith. You know, they want sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, and, you know, I'm a God-fearing man. And, you know, there's two women that I'm, like, debating on now. Like, which one will be God-fearing and have faith and humble themselves and submit, you know, as a woman? You know, because a woman has to be submissive in a household, you know, submissive to her Lord and take care of the children.
Right.
This is, you know, my core belief, how I was raised. So if I can't, I don't want to have to persuade her to do it. You know, I want her to all out use her heart and say, you know,
right,
I see that in him and he's worthy of my submission and I'm going to do this to please my Lord. And it's like maybe 1 out of 100 maybe. And it's like, you know, I've been shopping around for years. I'm 40. So I've been shopping around for years, and I haven't found that diamond in a rut, like they said. And it's like, I won't settle for less.
So
you know
what,
I mean,
tell me, hey, Tyrone,
what type
tell
of,
me. Wait, before you, I heard you, what kind of advice? So when it comes to boundaries, what are your concerns as a man in creating boundaries with women who you think maybe looking to live a different kind of life? What's your concern about boundaries?
Well, my concern about boundaries is, you know, a woman has her own agenda and a man has their own agenda. You know, one is to the house, one is to the workforce. I don't think, you know, when I come home from work, we should talk about work, because leave work at work. You know, I know you want to say how was your day and everything like that, you know, right, if I brought lunch or whatever, it was good, but I want to leave work at work. I don't want to come home and have to talk about what I did all day and just relive that. Like, I want that to be my past, and I come home to, you know, the next episode.
So you want to,
you know,
separate,
my family.
You want to sort of compartmentalize
the work
and
home.
Right, and distinct, right, have a clear distinction between I'm at work, I come home, I come to the love of my life. I don't want drama, I want peace, but I've got to have some boundaries about around how you interact with me as my woman.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So if I work with women and there's women on the job, you have to believe and have faith and trust that, you know, my eyes are for you. And you're not going to be suspicious and blaming and accusing or suspecting that I'm engaging in any type of promiscuous activity while I'm not with you. Like, I'm making money. I mean, this is what it's about, making a living. I'm trying to make ends meet so we don't have to struggle. And I come home to this chaos of, you know, what's going on the job, is women on the job. Like, I can't find peace in my own household.
So, you know what? I'm going to give you the number four, and it relates to number nine. The top nine is have high integrity. And so being faithful is part of that to what you're saying. Well, ultimately, when I talk about high integrity, I'm talking about people who honor themselves as their word. So a relationship is a team sport, and I don't care what you do, if it's business, your family, your love life, your children. People who lack integrity usually have a difficult time making things work because you can't count on what they say. They tell you I'll be there at Tuesday at 9 and they don't show up, or they show up an hour late. It's difficult, especially for in a love relationship, but then when you expand that beyond that and look at an entire community, and if the community doesn't have that kind of integrity where my word is my bond, you're going to have problems. So as a man, that's an important role for you to play in setting a pace for being honoring your word as yourself and having high integrity. Now, I get that, you know, there are many women who believe men lie and you got to show me, and they're expecting. But we live in a world where women have been indoctrinated with that. You know, you look at the movies, the guy who's a player, we hear all this stuff. So if you're the guy who's going to have high integrity, you're going to have to be that guy no matter what, and not change just because a couple of women didn't think you were. So it's really kind of like taking a stand. So if you look at a relationship as a team sport, part of what you're saying is, you know, there are roles that people play. So imagine, you know, we have a football season right now, and if you're an offensive lineman and you're not blocking for the quarterback and you're trying to take the ball out of his hands so you can throw it, that team is going to lose every single game. A highly performing football team is where people know their role, they play it well, and they do what's in the best interest of moving the team forward across the goal line. And what I was saying in the beginning, this is for people who are looking to build something. Whatever you're building is your goal line. And having a teammate that can support you, you don't have to be good at the same thing. But, yeah, it's a team sport. But honoring your word as yourself is, I'm saying, number nine. So number 10 is having boundaries. Number 9 is honoring, having high integrity, and honoring your word as yourself.
Right.
Blair, you want to say anything to any of that?
No. You're doing excellent. I want to say hold the line for just a moment, both of you. Again, the call-in number is 323-642-1387. 323-642-1387. I was going to go to the next caller, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, Tyrone, can you just keep Tyrone there on hold, because I'm going to go down a few more, and I want to see if they support him.
Tyrone, can you hang out with us for a second?
Excuse me? You want me to hang up?
Can you hold on?
Yeah, no, no.
Oh, sure.
You just hang out. Hang out with us.
Is that a yes?
Yes, he's going to hold on.
Okay, cool, cool. Tyrone, just hang on the line for a second. Next, we are going to go to area code 470. 470, you are live and on the air.
Hello, brother, and how y'all doing?
All right.
This is Brian Dunn.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, brother. Just really glad to be back. Enjoyed the last time I was able to chop it up with you guys, man. It's really good. I like what y'all doing, and I think it's really informative. It's going to be real inspirational to a lot of folks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for
awesome.
That.
Brian, if you could, where are you calling from? Your city and state, please.
Yeah, I'm calling from Marietta, Georgia.
Marietta,
okay.
Cool.
Oh, cool. Thank you for calling.
How's 2018 been, Brian?
Yeah, I didn't hear that last thing. What was that?
I just said, how's your 2018 been so far?
Okay, okay.
All right,
hey,
cool,
hey,
cool.
Blair.
So,
hey, Blair,
yo.
Your voice is a little muffled and low for some reason.
Okay.
Normally your voice is strong, Blair.
Okay, I don't know what's up, but I'll try something different. Go ahead and talk.
Okay. Hey, Brian, so what do you think of two, having boundaries and having high integrity? What do you think of those as being relationship advice?
Well, that's definitely two very important primary components, definitely, man, to a good, healthy relationship, of course. And I think of having boundaries, I think, is important for you and an individual to establish the difference between having boundaries and being in bondage.
Right.
You know.
What do you mean by
that?
Tell me what you mean by that. What's the difference?
Okay. Well, meaning that I have a saying of mine that, you know, when it comes to relationships, relationships are not necessarily so much about a whole lot of rules, regulations, and restrictions, but
right.
rather more about respect, responsibility, and reciprocity.
Okay, good.
And so when mature individuals understand that, and the difference, where, in other words, you guys have guidelines, you have standards set for you all, but yet you don't feel so imprisoned and feel like you locked in and caged in, and can't be free to thrive and flourish in your own individualism and your own identity and who you are as a person. And, you know, as the saying goes, losing yourself in a relationship and trying to do everything for a relationship, but again,
right.
You know, suffering for self-deprivation and things that you still have to listen to. And I was just telling a friend of mine this, how it's so important that as you invest in a relationship, you never stop investing in you.
Yep, you're a little bit ahead of me on that one. But so let me ask you, Brian, let me ask you a question. If you're a guy and you have another friend, another male friend, and if the two of you are very close, Do the two of you influence one another's life? I mean, do you grow in a way with that close male friend that maybe you wouldn't have grown on your own?
Yeah, well, I would say for myself, man, it's important to anybody that I would embrace or I would accept or call a friend that we should be parallel in our lives and our journey going into the same direction. Now,
right.
each person individually have their own path, you know what I'm saying, in their journey life. But if we going in a different direction, then I can't be inspired or I can't be motivated or encouraged or, you know, have anything positive, so to speak, for them, you know, that can help me or benefit me or vice
right.
versa, you know, if we just totally on different pages and going in different directions. So in saying that, I would say that my friends has definitely been a good influence for the most part, because we pretty much think on the same level. We speak the same language, you know what I'm saying? And we have a loyalty to one another and have integrity with one another, that we can be honest and truthful with each other about certain things. And so, yeah, it's been a good influence, I think, on both sides, you know, when it comes to friends or whatever. But unfortunately, you know, I don't think, you know, all brothers may not have that, you know.
Okay. Well, I brought that up because, you know, people often say, don't lose yourself in a relationship. And I'm often concerned about that, because if what you just described, it sounds like you have some close male friends and they've influenced you, and out of their influence, maybe you've become slightly different, whether better, it doesn't matter, but somehow they influence your life. And I think people are afraid of having that kind of influence in a love relationship. Like, I don't want to lose myself, except it's very possible for the person you were 10 years ago to disappear from the influence of male friends. I mean, is that a valid statement to say, would you say?
Yeah, you know, and that's a very good thing that you bring up right there, because this is what I could say with me and my male friends and brothers that I could, you know, consider, you know, real good friends, is that ultimately we may give an opinion or we may share some insight on something concerning each other, but for the most part, we've always established that, hey, you your own man, and you got to make your own decision. You got to do what's best for you. And it's like, that's something that we understand as a man, as an individual, and something that we all always remind one another of, that you your own man, and you have to make your own decision. So, like,
right.
In other words, this woman, I don't have to sleep with her. I'm not sleeping with her. I don't have to pay bills with her. I don't have to make certain life decisions with her. You do. And if you feel comfortable and good with that, and you all right with that, okay with that, and you know in your heart of hearts that you have peace with it, then that's all that matters.
Right, right. So I'm going to offer another perspective. So already I gave number 10 is having boundaries. Number 9 is having high integrity. And number 8 is, I'm going to say, is manage conversations instead of being managed by them. And what do I mean by that is that someone says something to you and you don't like it or you misinterpret it, and now whatever was said to you is completely running and controlling your life, and either you're flying off the handle, you're defending yourself, you're attacking the person, and people do this a lot. And so whether it's a friend, but I'm going to keep it to our context in a love relationship, if your significant other says something, and just because you don't like it or don't agree with it doesn't mean that you have to get upset and fly off the handle. So what I did with you here is I started asking you questions and asking you to explain what you mean about it, because a lot of times people just have misunderstandings, and so instead of managing the conversation, they let what's said to them manage them. And I'm going to give you a very real example I had with a woman I was seeing. One day, and she and I, we were cool, and just happened one day, we're on the phone, and she starts, you know, you did this, and I don't like when you do this. And I was like, wow, I've never seen her this way. She was kind of going on, and after a few minutes, I said, wait a second, time out. So now, at that point, I could have gotten upset and said, hey, don't you talk to me like that, and you're just being petty and bickering. I could have went down that path and invalidated her. And instead, I know some women may not like this because she didn't appreciate it, but what I asked her was, wait a second, what's today? What's the date? I said, when's your period coming? And she said, I can't believe you said that to me. You just invalidated everything I just said, and you're putting it on my menstrual cycle. And, she just went off on me. And I said, just tell me, when is it? I said, oh, wow, today's Wednesday. Your period's coming on Monday, isn't it? And then she was just more upset. I said, hey, listen, I'm not going to have this conversation with you when you're in this state of mind. I understand this may not be the optimal state of mind for you to have this. So she said, well, if that's the way you feel, I don't want to talk to you. Not right now. I'm not going to talk to you now. I'm going to go. So she went. In the morning, the very next day, she sent me a text. And guess what her text said? Someone want to guess?
I have no idea what her text said.
Her text said, guess what came last night after I, as soon as I hung up from you? Her period started. So
wow.
Started,
hey, Ted, real quick. Ted, real quick. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you are clearer, Blair. You are.
Okay, cool.
So
glad
the reason,
okay.
The reason I bring that up is after that day, whenever she started going down this path of, like, sort of nitpicking, I would say, wow, when's your period coming? She would laugh, and that would be the end of it. So, I mean, that's kind of an obvious example of what I'm getting at. And, Tyrone, are you still there? Are you still there, Tyrone?
Yes, I am. I'm listening clearly.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is sometimes as guys, we feel like we don't want to be dominated or controlled by a woman, and she may not be doing that at all. It could be something else. She could be upset about something else, and if you didn't ask questions, like tell me what else is going on, you know, this is not your normal behavior, and you not getting sucked up in it. You manage the conversations instead of letting conversations manage you and throw you around like a pinball in a pinball machine. Is that helpful for you, Tyrone?
Yeah, I've tried that on several occasions, but it's new to me because, you know, walking the house, look at the behavior that's going on in the household. If things don't look normal, things looking abnormal, I question, like, how do you feel? Like, you feel okay? Like, what's on your mind? You want to talk about it? And, like, you know, I just want to go to the kitchen, you know, and put the dinner on or whatever, you know what I mean? Go ahead and take your bath, take your shower, you know, and don't want to talk about it. You know, so the communication level has lacked, you know, within the past. So, I mean, trying to build that communication and things that we have in common to identify about between home, not work, or your girlfriends, you know, or am I approved of you hanging out with these women because of their ways? Is that taken away from what I'm sacrificing for? Like, to be with you? Like, because you're listening to them. So setting the boundaries would be, okay, you know what? I'm not going to let you come in my circle. I'm not going to let you come in my square. And, you know, we're going to keep it business, you know, to make ends meet.
Right,
and that's
right.
Not the way I want to do things. You know, I want to deal with the emotions of, you know, love, life, and laughter. And, you know, the happy ending. But it don't seem like there's ever one.
So, you know, one of the things, and this is my number 7. Number 7 is learn to negotiate. Most people think negotiation is only for business, and that's the absolute worst belief to have, because negotiation is definitely for any relationship you have, your parents, your loved one, your children. Most people think you have to compromise. So I'm going to turn over and die, or I'm going to lay down for you and let you do what you want. But what that usually does is build resentment, because then the person says, I did this for you, now you owe me. But if you think about negotiating, if you just think in business, two people sitting across the table from one another and they both want something. So what is it that they both want that benefits, that's in the best interest of all? So most people are trying to manipulate their significant other. I did this for you. Yeah. You owe me. Negotiation. And so really understanding what a person wants from you and to see if they're not getting it. And sometimes people want something that you might not be able to deliver, but if you don't understand why they want what they want, then you may never be able to deliver. So if someone wants, and maybe I need to make it concrete, but if someone wants something and you say, well, why do you want that? And they say, well, I want to feel this certain way. Well, you know what? I can give that to you another way. I may not give it to you the way you're saying, but I can give it to you in this way. Does that work for you? You following?
Right.
You guys following?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
Hey, Ted. Let me try to grab another call. So we got calls backing up right now. So let me try your brother can stay on the line for sure. A couple things. If he's saying, I don't know what's going on, I don't know whose background it is, but if you can kind of minimize whatever noise might be going on in the background, I don't know if it's TV or, you know, someone else there or what have you, if you could kind of turn that down, that would really help out a lot. So greatly appreciate it. The call-in number, again, is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. We are going to now go to area code 254, and we're going to take another call. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. Who's calling? State your name and where you're calling. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, my name is Apollo Sharp. Everybody calls me D, and I'm currently in Lubbock, Texas.
Hey, Lubbock, thanks Texas. For calling. D, right? Correct?
Yeah.
Hey, D, thanks for calling us.
No problem.
All right. What was your comment or question, sir?
Well, you know, I have a slightly different perspective on a lot of this stuff because I've been married coming close to 20 years. Matter of fact, April 27th makes 19 years for us. And
All right.
To be honest, a lot of the stuff that you go through in the early years, you don't really go through it as much as time goes on, you know? So a lot of this stuff that these guys are going through with their women is really just growing pains of the relationship because after a while, you get to a point where there's nothing else to argue about. You know, there's nothing else to be disgruntled about. You know each other's odds and ends and your movement. And you reach a point where you realize that no matter what type of argument you have, you're not really going anywhere. So, you know, don't take that argument seriously. You know, that argument's a nonsensical thing. In the next 5 minutes, y'all be back hugging and laughing each other. So if people can just get through that hurdle, and the majority of the problem is that people are not vetting the people they're dealing with. So since they're not vetting people,
exactly,
they don't know who they've got. See, you gotta vet who you're dealing with. It doesn't matter if it's a business relationship or it's a personal relationship. You got to make sure that the person you're dealing with is who they say they are and are doing what they say they do. And
well,
so
see,
that takes a...
Go ahead. That takes what?
That takes a lot of the guesswork and frustration out of the relationship because this is stuff that's supposed to be figured out ahead of time. And after you vet someone and see exactly who they are, and they aren't necessarily what you're looking for, who you're going to be compatible with, you have to be strong enough to let that person go. Don't play any games with them. Don't keep them around just, you know, in case you need a booty call or something when you're in a drought. You got to let those people go.
Right. So, D, you're making some really good points because if someone's playing games with you, that's what I'm saying. You create boundaries. There's certain things you just don't tolerate. You don't allow into your life. And if you're a person with high integrity and you keep your word, and you're meeting someone, well, let's just say if you keep meeting people who have no integrity, you might want to check yourself and look in the mirror and make sure your integrity is high.
Exactly.
If for some reason you have high integrity and you meet people who don't, if you have boundaries, you're not even going to let them in your life because you're going to smell someone with low integrity. Like you said, you're going to vet that. You're going to hear their language. You're going to watch their actions. And you just create a boundary. And if you didn't, that wasn't a wise decision to make.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this. So I'm going to say my number six, and this is my last one of my five. I'm going to say the number six in a very important part or tool to have in a relationship is to have leadership. And when I say leadership, it's part of being able to lead yourself, right? So you need to be able to manage conversations, manage yourself. And most people may believe that they're a leader, and some people believe because they have children it makes them a leader. But Matt, leading children and leading adults are not always the same thing. But being a leader, leaders have some kind of idea about finances, right, and how to manage money. Doesn't mean you have to be a master at it, but you have to have some knowledge and idea and discipline around managing money, finance. Have some business savvy. And you need to be mentally fit. So there's a certain mindset. So there are a lot of guys who say, I want a woman to submit, except I'm not always sure what you're asking a woman to submit to, because if you think you're entitled to be a leader because you're a man, or even for a woman to feel she's entitled to leadership because she's a woman, this would be a really false sense of security. So I'm going to assert that the greatest investment that a man can make in the greatest investment a man can make is in himself. So I would suggest to any man who wants to be in a very strong, effective leadership, start investing in yourself as a leader. Reading books are great, but there are different workshops, and if that's not part of your budget, there are a couple of books out there. They don't tell you a step-by-step leader, but what they do is they've done research, and they can tell you why certain people have become great leaders. So one book, for example, is called David and Goliath, and it's written by a guy. David and Goliath was written by I'll get that in a second. But what he did in this book, David and Goliath, he was trying to understand why certain people. His name is Malcolm Gladwell. Sorry. Malcolm Gladwell wrote David and Goliath, and he interviewed all these CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and some of them had this pattern, and all of them started saying, hey, I couldn't keep up with class, so what I did was I made best friends with the smartest one in math, the smartest in science, the smartest in history, the smartest in English. And what that person did, who is now the CEO of Virgin Airlines, Richard Branson, the president of Goldman Sachs, and there are a few other, I think Larry Ellison, there are a few other big companies, and the CEOs all said when they were very young, they couldn't keep up with class. They made best friends with smartest in different subjects, and what they did is they delegated their homework. They made that person explain the topic so they could better understand. They would delegate. They would have group talks, and those people didn't know they were developing leadership skills. And most people are not good at leading people who are smarter than them, except these guys, they were dyslexic, so that's why they couldn't keep up. And they, because they knew they were not the smartest in their group of friends of smart people, they had no problem delegating, asking a lot of questions to make sure they understand. In other cases, some people learn to negotiate. So if they had a grade that was on a border of a B and a C, they would negotiate with the teacher and say, let me tell you why my answer is correct. And they'd negotiate their grade up to a B instead of a C. So they were developing all kinds of leadership skills that supported them in their career, and they didn't realize they were doing that. So sometimes, and the book is called David and Goliath because he said, sometimes you think you have a disadvantage, except that disadvantage can work out in your best interest. The other kind of person, he said, was someone who lost a parent by around the age of 20, and they had siblings. That person usually had to step up and be a leader to bring the parent, the family through extreme tragedy. There's another book by Jim Collins called Good to Great, and they talk about companies that are great over the course of several decades and how they develop leaders. And these are not people who are throwing their weight around and yelling and screaming. I mean, that's not leadership. These are people who know how to talk to people and get the most out of their people. So those are two good books that really talk about, one is how to take your disadvantages and leverage them and use them to your advantage. And the other one talks about the kind of, they call a level five leader, who knows how to not only develop themselves, they know how to develop people under them, pull them up and get the most out of them. So that even when they leave, the company continues to go. So I'm saying, guys, if you want to be head of the household in your relationship and you're not going out to intentionally develop yourself as a leader, you may have a false sense of security around whatever it means to be a leader.
Right. I agree.
Well, yeah,
I agree with you. Real quick, again, the number is 323-622-1387. But yeah, that's real good stuff, Dan. Real good stuff. That's why you talk to all the CEOs like you do and everything. So yeah.
I do that. And so, you know, there's a reality TV show, I think it's called Hell's Kitchen, and there's a guy who's supposed to be a top chef, and it's a reality show about how to they're showing people who are going to come become a top chef, and people get eliminated. And some people might think he's being an effective leader, right, because he's creating a sense of urgency. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot mandate high performance. If you want to get the best out of people, yelling and screaming, and look, there are some times where you have to make consequences, but if you really want to be a leader and get the most, a lot of the images you see on television are not leadership. And believe it or not, you know, I worked with quite a few CEOs over the years, and even some of these really successful, highly intelligent, Ivy League educated people, mostly men, some of their ideas about leadership do come from the media. I mean, just you can even watch some of the old black and white movies. You know, they always had the CEOs yelling, he's ornery, and why can't people do what I want? You know, they have that kind of attitude. People grow to believe that's what a leader is supposed to do. And you go into your relationship with that kind of mindset, then you are going to be bickering a lot, and you're probably not listening because the best leaders don't believe they have to be the smartest one in the room. Steve Jobs said something like, Steve Jobs said, why hire smart people and tell them what to do? What we do is hire smart people and ask them what we should be doing.
Right.
And I'm going to stop there, Blair. That's my 5 out of 10.
Okay.
You know, leadership has a lot of different forms. So, from my personal example, you know, I spent 14 years in the Army.
This is D. Okay.
I spent 14 years in the Army and came across a lot of different styles of leadership. And so you have different forms of leadership used for different types of situations. Like you check out the leadership on something like Hell's Kitchen. Not really leadership. It's more of stress inducing, which is a tool in the toolbox. But usually there's no real reason to induce stress. Yeah, stress does develop people. But on a show like that, I have a feeling that that's mostly just for ratings. But
Exactly.
If you have mission critical situations, like the stuff that goes on in the back rooms of some of these companies, then, you know, there probably will be a lot of yelling when stuff goes in critical mode. But if you're in like military doing the combat years, then you're going to get a whole lot worse than what you've seen in the movies. A whole lot worse.
Yeah, I get that. Right. Yeah, right.
But understand though, when you're getting what the Army gives you, what they're doing is triggering a psychological response. And so it's almost like they put you into drone mode. So they're yelling at you, they put you into this mode, and then you just go execute, execute, execute. You know, whatever you're supposed to be doing in a high combat situation, you just execute. You're afraid? Yeah. You know, but at the same time, that psychological response that they drummed into you kicks in for most people. Some people it don't work, but for most people it kicks in and you just execute your training the way, you know, you were told to, and you perform it the way it was drilled into you. But at the same time, though, the leadership that needs to be in a home is a vastly different animal.
Exactly.
Because at its core, all leadership really is, you can sum it up in two tasks: resource acquisition and resource management. And I'm going to be honest. Black men predominantly are failing at this. We aren't acquiring resources the way we are supposed to be. I understand the black community's matriarchal, which is something we are long overdue and not transitioning back over from that. But what's going on is that women are running the black community and they're acquiring resources, but they are awfully managing it. And so what black men need to do is first learn how to acquire resources, and then second, learn how to manage those resources. And if you can master that, basically become a logistician, become a quartermaster, then you've got the leg up on leadership. The only thing that comes after that is being able to marshal those resources to a dedicated task. But, you know, our people think that we don't need leaders. For some strange reason, they think that everybody can be a leader, and that's just positively false.
Exactly.
Right.
So, D, what you just said is really powerful, and thank you for that. There's another component to that, which is if you can't bring – so leaders produce results through other people. So if you don't understand cooperation, collaboration as a leader – if you think you have to do everything and be the smartest, you probably won't get as much done as someone who can get things done through others. So one of the things that, and Blair and I had talked about this from the beginning, is Blair and I have excellent collaboration, cooperation with one another. I mean, we didn't meet until July of this year, and we were already on the air by October. So, we never spoke. So part of what our commitment is to serve as an example for what cooperation looks like when two people don't have to have the same skills, but there's a target we want to hit. And you're hitting on some of this. And when you say resources, I'm going to take it a step to where the conversation needs to be. If you don't own resources like gold mines, oil wells, rubber trees, water supply, land for food, if you're not acquiring those, and that requires a different kind of resource, mindset, and it requires collaboration and pooling resources and managing and allocating them the way you're saying, then it really just becomes talk. And so if men don't start leading us out of where we are in developing the leadership skills, then, we can talk all day long about this stuff. But if men don't start developing those leadership skills and changing that mindset and acquiring those resources and better allocating them, the conversation is just, like, irrelevant.
Well, it's funny that you said that. I've mentioned it numerous times in one of Blair's groups that a project that I'm working on, I'm writing a book to go with it, but it's basically a way to transform the black community away from what it is now and into something that's productive and that's self-sustaining. And so almost everything I write, when I do a post, when I do a comment, has something to do with that. And so one of Blair's posts tonight that I saw was talking about advice that you would want to pass off. And so I started writing about how Every individual black person needs to get over that whole mentality about how everyone can't own a business, because we can't afford that mentality anymore. And so I talked about how everyone needs to create a portfolio that has a minimum of 6 lines of revenue, revenue streams. And for the ones who are aggressive, they need to be working at a minimum of 10. They should definitely be working in double digits. But for people who want to be transformative for the black community, the bar is higher. They need to be working at a minimum of 100 individual distinct lines of revenue. And
right.
I talked about how people
agree with
think
you
that may be impossible.
I agree with you.
They need
Ted,
to,
Ted, can I
they
get
need to
my,
shift their understanding.
Hey, Blair?
I was saying, do you mind if I kind of dip into my list a little bit?
Yeah. What you're getting at is part, you need to understand investing and how to make money work for you.
Oh, yeah. But it's not even just investing, because, you know, at the end of the day, everything is investing, but you also need core ownership. You also need, you know, to flex those resource management muscles and those collaboration muscles, understanding that people are a resource too. And so when you collaborate with other people,
right,
you know, you start forming interlocking networks of corporations and of revenue streams and of nonprofits. And, you know, you basically create a blanket over the people you want to protect, because you have to acquire the resources and you have to manage it. So you need...
Well, and not, knowledge becomes a big resource also.
Yeah, definitely.
Intelligence.
Definitely.
So Blair's got a list, so we're going to go to Blair. So we've got 5 out of the 10, and Blair's going to give
okay.
the last 5.
All right, cool. What I want to say before I get started, there's a few people that have been holding for quite a long time. I promise you, I'm going to get to you. I'm going to put out one of the things on my list, and then we're going to go to the next call.
Another call.
So just hold the line for just a moment, everybody. I see people have been holding for about 20 minutes on here. So the call-in number is 323-642-1387. So thank you very much for your patience. My first thing that I have on my list, and this kind of really segues, I mean, Dee, I appreciate you setting it up just perfectly for me. My first one on my list is find a small group of 3 to 4 black men or women, 3 or 4 black men or women, and start building. Dee made a very a comment about the fact that I speak, and so does Dee in a lot of ways, in a room that I created where we talk about, what are the first things, you know, we've been saying this nation building thing for quite some time. We need to get together. We need to build. We need to unite with one another. Okay, well, what does that look like? I think where we get frustrated is we look at it like, once this happens, once I connect with Dee, and once I connect with Ted, and once I connect with Tyrone, all of a sudden all of our problems are null and void. Well, no, it's going to take some time. And part of also knowing that it's going to take some time, you have to understand that we a lot of times try to go for what I call the home run instead of going for just simply a base hit. We want to say, well, you know, if this is something that can't happen in a matter of, you know, a year or 2 or 3 years or 5 years, then, you know, why even bother? Well, you know, this country that we live in has been, you know, we've been operating on things for hundreds of years, and there's still a lot of work to be done. So my part of this 10, my thing is find a small group of 3 to 4 black men. You don't need to go and find 70 black men necessarily. If it works like that, great. But find a small contingent group of, you know, good, you know, together brothers, and get to them and start making some things happen. You know, bounce some ideas off one another. I was in an accountability group. I'm not in it anymore, but I was in an accountability group. And what we would do is we would meet once every 6 weeks, and I think I mentioned this to you, Ted, on one of our earlier shows. And what we would do is we would get together every 6 weeks, and we would come together and say, okay, what are you doing? Not what are you planning to do, what are you going to do? Because when we come back to you in 6 weeks, you better have that joint done. You need to have it together. And I think it would behoove a lot of us to really get together with, you know, like-minded individuals and say, okay, you know what, this is not, you know, that whole joke about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time. Let's just start knocking it down, get with a couple of good quality people, and start making it happen. So, yeah, that's my first thing. So on that note, I'm going to try to go to a caller here on the line. Area code 917, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead. Area code 917, you are live. Okay. Nobody there. Okay. So what we are going to do now is we are going to go to area code 305. 305, you are live and on the air.
Yes, sir. Come on, Brian Suter. Just listening to you, and I was listening to making relationships better, and all the points were really good. One thing I like to point out is that we need to be more accountable. Black men, sometimes we just got to take accountability. I think resources are good. I think listening is good. I think reading is good. But until we just stand still and take the notion of, hey, I want things to be different. I want things to change. I'm going to make a difference with me first. Then I can be a leader. The young man talked about being a leader. You know, all those things are really good, but you can't just fit a mold. Pat Riley said, I can run IBM even though I'm a coach. Why? Because I'm putting proper people in place. So if we're talking about a relationship, to put the proper person in place would be you first. You have to work on yourself. You have to make sure that you're a better person. You're financially set. You're mentally set. You're spiritually set before you just walk in there and trying to talk to a woman and make her better, because you're either going to be in a certain position of fixing or molding. But you got to be able to do one of those.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well said.
And
well said. I'm sorry. Great. What's your name again?
Brian.
Brian. Okay.
Brian. And thanks. Brian, where are you calling from, please? Your city and state?
I'm calling from Plantation, Florida.
Awesome. Awesome. You can hang out on the line if you like to, Brian. What are your thoughts about that, gentlemen?
Well, Brian is getting at what I was saying. You first need to, he used the word accountability, which is great. I mean, that's a big part of leadership's responsibility. But you really have to develop yourself. It's what I said. That's if you're going to be a leader, it's not just because you put on a suit or you just said I'm a leader just because I believe I am, and you really haven't developed yourself. It's why I suggest those two books, because it really talks about how people actually have become such great leaders, and some of the circumstances that people have helped to you can transfer skills from certain situations, but it really is important to develop your own mindset. And I know Dee talked about transformation, because our environments all give us something, and I'm not saying whether your environment gave you good or bad. But if there's an outcome you want to produce and you either haven't or don't know how, the first person to work on, which is what Brian is saying, is yourself. Am I following you, Brian? Do we lose Brian?
I think Brian dropped off the line, actually, so yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so... but yeah, I mean, what he's saying is correct, and to his point, I don't know if he was making a point or someone else. We have a tendency to, and I actually talked about this, I think either last week or the week before. We have a tendency to be very much a bandwagon people, meaning that we want to see things. We don't want to get involved in something until we see something in motion. If we think that like we can kind of get it on the ground floor and it's not it's kind of a risk or whatever, we're not interested. It's not until we see somebody else doing it, and then it's like, okay, let me kind of get on it. Instead of saying, you know what, this is for my people, this is for my family, this is for the next generation, let me do X, Y, Z. And, yeah, we have a tendency to always be kind of looking over the next person's fence, trying to say, maybe somebody else is going to start. I don't feel like getting it going and getting it kicked off. And that's, I mean, if everybody's doing that, then how are we actually going to make any sort of, movement and sort of any sort of inroads into getting to a better place?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. So my next thing I want to just throw out there, because you gave five, and I'm going to give my five. So, and this is a kind of a segue, but it's a very important thing that I think kind of applies to us, especially as black men. Begin to take your overall health more serious. What that means is better eating, you know, going to the doctor, free checkups, you know, going to see the doctor for free if you need to. There's all sorts of things that you can go and do out there for free if you do not have the money or the health insurance to do so. Put down the, you know, put down the alcohol. Just start to look at yourself in a better fashion. Doesn't mean that you have to necessarily be, you know, the Boris Kodjo out there. Absolutely not. But I think the numbers, the recent numbers say that roughly about 82% of black women are overweight or obese. And I think the numbers for black men are around 69%. So that essentially means that 7 out of 10 black men are obese or overweight. As we, try to get some sort of traction in this, you know, in this thing to try to, you know, get black people to an advantage, it's going to be paramount that we actually have decent health, be in decent shape, et cetera. You know, you don't see a lot. I mean, there are some, but you don't see a lot of CEOs out there that are just morbidly obese, you know, out of shape or whatever. Like I said, there are some, but that's not the majority of it. So I think to look at, you know, just your overall, you know, overall health, of course your mental health is important, but just as important is your current physical health. You know, I'm tired of seeing, you know, hearing stories about brothers having heart attacks at 43 and 49 and 51. You shouldn't be, you know, we should not be having heart attacks and things that early. So that's another key thing. So,
hey, Blair, you said something, CEOs. Yeah, most of the CEOs I know, men and women, are all fairly lean. And the guys, well, they actually emphasize, hey, work out. You need to work out. It helps keep your mind fresh and keeps your brain strong. And some of these guys, no, not some, almost all the retired CEOs who are in their 70s and 80s, these guys still go to the gym. They're still working out.
Right. I believe it. There's a certain thing, and I don't know how deep, and I'm not really versed in it, but I have read a lot up on it. I don't know if any of you know anything about metaphysics. Essentially what it is, it's a belief that everything about your life, everything you say, everything you watch, everything you eat, et cetera, all is intertwined. That you can't say, well, I'm going to listen to this bad music, you know, this foul music, it's going to be okay because, you know, I'm a strong person. My mind can kind of understand that. Well, no. And so going back to your illustration about the CEOs, you have a lot, you know, we have a lot of our brothers and sisters who are overweight, and a lot of it's because of, you know, I mean, some of it, you know, is hereditary. It's a learned behavior. But a lot of it is basically what we eat, how late we eat, how much we eat, you know, the alcohol we consume, et cetera, et cetera. And what that does is it has somewhat of a residual effect on us over a period of time. So what you see is us losing the battle on health. You know, we have more and more health issues. You know, we just got to get together. So that's my next thing. So anybody have any thoughts on that? Anything you want to add?
Hey, yeah, Blair, so if we take what I said, which is create boundaries, and what you said about health, mental, and physical, you mentioned music. So anyone who thinks they're not influenced by everything that you see, hear, and feel, your brain records everything, even when you're asleep. If you're in a car accident and you're knocked unconscious for 15 minutes, all the conversations that happened around you, the sounds, the smells, your brain recorded every single last one of them. So just because you think you're so strong and you're not influenced, then you have a very false sense of self because your brain is recording it, and many of the fears you have are for fears that you don't even know why, because maybe you heard it in a movie or you overheard someone talking on the subway or something. So if you're listening to music, like you're saying, that's foul, it is shaping who you are, and you don't even know it. You and I, I, I'm
I don't want to need to get so technical, but you and I talked about a word called neuroplasticity, where one time they thought you had X amount of brain paths called neuro. Your brain has neural paths where your neurons travel, and those neurons carry information, conversation. And they thought you had a set amount, and that was it. Well, what they found is that people's brains are more plastic, and you can grow entirely new neural paths if you expose yourself to new things. It can come from travel. It can come from moving differently, like martial arts or working out. But having entirely new conversations or learning an entirely new language can grow new neural paths, and that can cause you to see things that you never saw before. But that's on a positive side. On a flip side, you can immerse an entire community from a neuroplasticity standpoint into negative conversations that they never had before by introducing things that are negative. And music is a great way to do that. And people will grow entirely new neural paths that see the world from violence, from hatred, or whatever the music is promoting. And if you have no boundaries around that and you just let everything into your brain, you're being developed and don't even realize it, especially if your children grow up listening to that at a young age. Anyway, I'll stop there.
Absolutely. Good stuff. My next one is quit being manipulated by emotional conversations. And this is going to be a sore topic, and I'll say especially from women. We as guys have a tendency to fall right into the trap of a lot of dialogue that we have, especially on social media, from women. You know, do not allow yourself to be emotionally pulled and, I will say, played by what I call deflection tactics. Any type of you're broke, you're ugly, you don't love your mother, you know, because you do X, Y, Z. Do not allow that to be part of your energy. Focus on you, focus on your money, focus on if you're married or, you know, in a relationship, focus on that, focus on better health, et cetera, et cetera. Focusing on trying to, you know, I guess, as they call it, help women to see things that they don't necessarily want to see is useless. It's pointless. A lot of our sisters are going to be on our side, and that's a wonderful thing, and there are more of us that are on our side than not. But however, the idea that you're just going to sit there and be on social media, you know, countless hours and try to help and have them see things that they don't necessarily want to see, why do so? That time and energy can be better spent getting you together, finding out about, you know, a corporation that you may want to buy, or getting, you know, your S-Corp or getting an LLC, or doing, you know, some due diligence on a company that you may be interested in buying, or, you know, if you want to start a T-shirt company, or if you want to find out about, you know, colleges that offers, you know, STEM scholarships or whatever. But the whole idea that you just go around and around and allow women to somewhat manipulate you, we've got to stop that here and this year. And hopefully, you know, it's already something that a lot of men have stopped. So, yeah. So that's my second. I got two more. Can I get them in real quick?
That was a good one, Blair. Keep going.
Okay, cool. Next one is, and this kind of ties into what Dee was talking about. I don't know if Dee is still on the line or not. But the next one
I'm still here.
Still there. Awesome. Discover a purpose. And what I mean by a purpose is whatever the purpose is, if you want to be a neuroscientist or if you want to sell ice cream, whatever that is, tap into that purpose, you know, 100%. I was watching something on one of Oprah's shows recently, and they were talking to a gentleman, and he was saying that one of the problems that a lot of black men have is they don't really dial into who they really are. What is your God-given purpose? We all have one, whatever it might be. What is the reason that you were put here to be on this earth? Whether it's to be a leader and to run a church, whether it's to run a nonprofit, whether you're like, you know, I'm more of a, you know, kind of a CEO type of guy, or someone like you, Ted, you know, you're like, I encourage and give information and important data to CEOs. For me, I knew that helping sisters kind of see things that a lot of them didn't really know or, you know, maybe had forgotten, that was my purpose. whatever that is, find out what your purpose is and get to it. You know, I talked about in my most recent book, I gave an illustration. I said one of the reasons why I think a lot of black women have just kind of thrown the towel on black men is they don't see the fire in the belly that used to be there in the 60s, you know, kind of the early 70s, 50s, et cetera. They don't see the ability to just kind of overcome. Yeah, we know, you know, brothers get shot. We know that. We know that, you know, the dominant society may not hire you. We get that. But it's not like, you know, that's always, you know, it's not like this is anything new to us. So one of the things that I think black women get frustrated with is seeing our brothers just kind of almost sit there and wait for a handout or wait for things to somewhat happen. That's never, ever going to be the case. You have to go out, and I don't know if it was Malcolm or whomever it was that said, you know, power is not given. It's taken. You have to go out and absolutely take it from someone's hands. And, you know, where is that fire? Where is that fight gone? Find your purpose, discover your purpose, find that passion, and start making inroads and start making it happen. You know, not waiting till like, well, I want to wait till, you know, I get my income tax and it. No. That, you know, your income tax goes towards something else at that point. You don't know what might happen, or, you know, I'm gonna wait till next year. No, you can be making moves on it right now. Doesn't have to wait till next year. Doesn't have to wait till tax season or anything of that nature. So. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and so I'll say one of the challenges I have with telling people to find it is that a lot of people go to the grave and never find it. So the real power comes out of your own mouth. You get to create your purpose. You can make it up. You can invent it. If you're waiting to find out what you were born to do, you can do like most people and go to the grave still waiting, or you can
right.
create it. You can be that person.
Right.
There's most people believe if I have X, if I have the right job, then I'll be able to take the actions and, you know, do the things I want, and then I'll become this purpose. If you declare that purpose and become that purpose, that become that person, and let your actions be a correlate of who you are being, then you have a better chance of having what you want, which is usually most people do it in reverse. They want to have it, then they'll do it, and then they think they'll become it. I'm saying if you have to be it, then do it, and then you have it.
Right.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to stick something in here real quick, just throw this little nugget in here, plant this seed. Within the next 2 decades, you're going to start to see people having their thing that they were set here to do, but it's going to start to be given to people. So just keep an eye out for that for the next 2 decades. You're going to start seeing people with a fire in their gut, but it's not going to be something that they just discovered on their own. It's going to be something that they were given by another person. So be
okay.
on the lookout for that.
Awesome. Now, let me ask you, when you say given to somebody, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things about leadership is that you're – when you're looking at people as a resource, you're marshaling them together to accomplish a task.
All right. Right.
So check out this. You know, I don't want to talk too long on this, but something I figured out a couple of years ago. You're never going to convince people to save themselves as far as our own people.
Yes.
And I realized uh-huh. that let's say I wanted to create a neighborhood, or let's say 6 neighborhoods, purely for black people to live in, how would I accomplish that? Well, the truth of the matter is, instead of trying to get people to understand why they need to help do this, the most efficient and effective way to do it
is to make it people's jobs to do it. And so I want these six neighborhoods. Okay. So I would have needed to have gathered resources ahead of time and start marshaling those resources. So now I need to purchase either the services of or purchase outright lawyers who handle real estate, construction companies, contractors, vocational people, people who understand infrastructures, people who understand city planning and engineering, people who can get me those land grants and people who can get those areas zoned for what I want them to be zoned for. You have to set people to work. They don't even have to know why they're doing what they're doing. As Blair can attest to, I often say, leave a slave in a slave's place. And the deeper meaning of that is that the slave doesn't need to know why he's doing what he's doing. He just needs to know that this is what he's got to do, and he's going to do it. And most people these days are wage slaves. And so you don't have to try to lean on people's understanding to hope you can convince them to do anything. You make it their job, and if they can't do it, you fire them and bring somebody else in. And that sounds kind of cold, but we can no longer afford the strategies and tactics from the 60s and the 70s. It's getting late in the game. So what we're going to have to do is use those type of strategies. And Blair has heard me talk about multiple times that we need our own infrastructure, but we're not going to just get people to understand why we need it. And we'll sit here and we'll talk and have a whole, 12-hour lecture just for people to still not do it. So explaining stuff to people, that's pointless. We got to start giving people their fire by making them feel important and by telling them this is what I need you to do. And reward them when they accomplish the mission. And redirect them, refocus them when they can't do it up to a point. If they get to a point where they have a history of not completing the mission, then you have to get rid of them. But, people, you're going to find that things are going to start moving and people are going to start acting like they got a purpose. And they may not even know where that purpose comes from because from their perspective, they're just going after that next reward, that next pat on the back, that next bump in pay. But you're going to start seeing people moving. And a lot of people are not going to know why. And all they'll see is the activity. And I'm hoping that the way it works out is once this first bit of activity happens, a lot of people start to mirror it. But there are going to be a lot of people doing what the Army calls shooting, moving, and communicating.
Right. Good stuff. Cool. Thanks so much for your comments, Brian. I appreciate it. We're getting close to the end of the show, so let me try to take one more call if I can, and I want to go to my next point and everything before we get up on out of here. So hold the line for just a moment if you could. We have area code 917 on the line. 917, go right ahead. Okay, it's possible. Okay, cool. All right, so let me hit my last one, and then I'm going to try to even get a bonus one in if I can. So my last one for this is learn more about your people and your history. And what I mean by that is we have a tendency, whenever we talk about the diaspora of black people, we talk about just, we were doing our thing now, and before that we were slaves. It's like, well, wait a minute. What happened, let's rewind it back 500 years. You mean to tell me everything about our history has just been slavery? No. So learn about your history. Learn about where we come from. Learn about where you come from specifically, what, indigenous region you're from. All that can be a big help to you. So that's that one. My last one, and this is a bonus one, this is just what I want to throw in, is get a passport. Get a passport, get a passport, get a passport. Get out of Atlanta, get out of Ohio, get out of Texas, out of California, out of New Jersey. Go visit another country. One of the things that's the beauty about right now and one of the wonderful times that we're in at this time is, and people who travel can kind of, you know, can kind of vouch for this, it's actually less expensive to get hotel accommodations in other countries than it is in the U.S., and that's pretty much no matter where you go. Now, the flight there is going to hit you in the mouth. It's going to be very expensive, but if you plan right, you can even kind of, you know, sidestep that a little bit. But, yes, get you a passport, get out of it, get out of the cities that you're in, and just, you know, whether it's on a shoestring budget or whether you do it up big, go and see other places. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and they're like, I've never even been outside the country. I'm like, how can you have not been? I mean, there's cruises to go on. You can go to Jamaica, you can go to Cancun, you can go to, you know, Thailand, you can go to Africa, Dubai. There is not a corner of this country, of this world, that you cannot pretty much go to right now. And this is the best time to do so. So whether it's just to, you know, make yourself a more well-rounded individual, whether you're looking to maybe meet, you know, just different people, whether, you know, you want to meet different men, different women, that's totally on you. But get you a passport, learn about different cultures, and just get to see a part of this world that you don't get a chance to, you know, being in the different cities that I mentioned. So getting a passport is very critical, and I would encourage everyone to do so. So that's my list.
Blair, encourage people to also learn another language. It's good for you to learn a second language. The world becomes smaller for one, but it's just even good just from a brain, from an intellectual perspective, to learn another
and
language.
And I will say this, and I'll kind of speak for you. I know I've read different articles. They said a lot of CEOs are very affluent in different languages, whether they be, you know, Mandarin, you know, or just, you know, Spanish or what have you. So, yeah, it can't do anything but help, you know, and not to mention, you know, the women might kind of, you know, kind of find it a little something too. So.
Yeah, it helps. But it helps you negotiate through life. You know, here in New York, there are so many different languages. I mean, I speak English, Spanish, and Portuguese, but there are probably five or six other languages where I can greet or say some things in other languages, what, Mandarin, Russian, Tagalog, Tibetan, there are several. And what it does is it opens doors in communication with people where maybe they may have had preconceived notions. They treat me differently. I get discounts. It just socially, it's really good for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
we're coming to a close, huh?
A minute and a half. I think we got about a minute and a half, so any last thoughts?
Good list. I want to thank the callers and thank the listeners. I want to say Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for joining us, Blair and I, on this journey, and we look forward to being extremely valuable to everyone, and we look forward to your feedback and your thoughts, concerns, and participation. So thank you and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Anybody else have a thought or anything to say?
No, I'm good. I enjoyed the show.
Okay, cool. Well, like Ted said, thank you for all the callers. Thank you for all the listeners. Our listenership is actually growing, so that's a good thing. Thank you, everybody, you know, for all the people who know me, who listen to the show, who just, you know, for all the people that I coach and people that I talk to and who buy books and all the other stuff, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. So we will be starting back next week, and it'll be 2019, and we will have another wonderful topic. So everyone have a great evening and have a happy, safe New Year. Love you and be blessed.
Great. Thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye.